This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer, and coming up, a tour of the burn area in Malibu, also what you can do to protect your home if you have to leave for a fire. But first, we're expecting an update on the Franklin Fire in about an hour. It has burned more than 4,000 acres, but weather conditions have improved for the firefighters. Pete DeVetrio right now in Malibu, and he joins us live.
With over 1,500 firefighters and camp crew personnel and nearly 200 engines on this blaze, there's enough in the way of personnel to prevent any further losses of homes. Now, water-dropping helicopters have been operating all day long more effectively because of the lack of dense smoke along the fire fronts. The key question now is that of containment. The more of a line they can build around this fire, the sooner the area can be repopulated, and any news on that front is going to be good news to the estimated 5,000 people who've had to leave their homes at the peak of fire activity. It's been a good day as far as the weather's concerned. Winds have been minimal. Onshore sometimes, not really any offshore winds. And for the most part, the last 3 to 4 hours, the smoke, what you can see of it back way up in the hills, is going straight up in the air, which means firefighters have a chance to really build some containment lines.
Thanks, Pete. All public schools in Malibu going to stay closed on through tomorrow. SoCal Edison says that crews have restored power to most of western Malibu. Smoke advisory has been extended through 7 o'clock tomorrow night. A South Coast AQMD says smoke from the fire heavily impacting northwest coastal L.A. County. Air quality could reach unhealthy levels, and residents should avoid burning wood. And if they have to be outside, they should wear an N95 mask. Two women sued luxury real estate brokers and their brother for sexual assault. More women came forward after that suit. Now, Oren Alon and Tal Alexander have been indicted. They're accused of using their wealth and status to lure, drug, and then sexually assault and rape dozens of women. The brothers were arrested at residences in and near Miami Beach today. One of the accusers is Tracy Tudor, a top broker in Beverly Hills, one of the stars of the reality show Million Dollar Listing Los Angeles. A homeless Fontana man pleaded guilty today to a federal charge of punching an Asian American woman in the head in Culver City while he shouted racial insults at her. The felony carries a possible maximum penalty of 10 years in federal prison. Lindsay attacked the woman as she was walking to work back in June of 2021. Sentencing is set for March of next year. L.A. County's 2023 hate crime report was released today. It's not good, Emily Valdez reports.
These are hate crimes, not hate incidents. The largest number were anti-black hate crimes at 320, followed by anti-LGBTQ at 256 crimes, and anti-Jewish hate crimes came in at 242. Robin Toma is with the L.A. County Commission on Human Relations, which did the report.
The total number of hate crimes in our county rose to the highest level ever, from 930 to 1,350.
These are the highest numbers ever reported for each of these three groups. Crimes against LGBTQ members increased by about 50%. Hate crimes against Jewish people nearly doubled. I'm Emily Valdez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
The man who is accusing Sean Diddy Combs of sexually assaulting him at a party is now talking with CNN. The network kept the man anonymous as he recounted the attack at a party in the Hamptons back in 2007. He said his drinks appeared to be spiked and he felt extremely ill. The man says that is when Combs attacked.
I was screaming. I was telling him to stop. It was incredibly painful. And he was acting like it was nothing. And he seemed to be disconnected from it. But it was abusive beyond belief.
His voice disguised there. The man has filed a civil lawsuit against Combs. Representatives for Combs declined to respond to any request for comment about this. Hannah Kobayashi, the Hawaiian woman who went missing back in November and was then located in Mexico, has finally gotten in touch with her family. TMZ reports it has been told a family member talked to her today, and she reassured them that she is safe. The family says they are relieved and grateful that the LAPD found her safe earlier in the month. They're now asking for privacy as they take the time to heal and process everything it's been through. Thousands of hospitality workers going to get a big raise in the middle of 2025. Craig Figner reports from the KNX News City Hall Bureau.
The way that it's been handled is so foul.
Many of LA's 15 council members were outright angry ahead of this vote to give LA's hotel workers this new minimum wage law, $22.50 an hour starting next July, getting to $30 an hour by the year 2028. Ahead of the vote, some were mistrusting of an economic expert who suggested there'd be very few economic consequences for Los Angeles, and tempers flared further as other council members introduced a flurry of last-minute proposed changes.
Councilman Rodriguez registered as a no vote.
Procedurally, yes, this is a mess.
Councilmember Padilla.
I was ready to be a yes vote today, but what is not cool with me is that the final language was put in front of me minutes before a vote.
Councilmember Soto Martinez.
A flurry of amendments have come in, and personally, I am offended by that, and it's an embarrassment that we are acting this way. These amendments could have been introduced at the beginning of the meeting that were not, and I'm speaking. Thank you so much.
Despite the discord, it was a win for hotel workers, championed by Councilmember Hugo Soto Martinez.
Yeah, we achieved the goal of this proposal, which is to get to $30 by 2028.
And you're confident it won't cost jobs permanently?
No, I think all the testimony we heard today is this is going to be good for the regional economy, and it's going to stimulate jobs, and I think it's a win-win for everybody.
One Malibu resident says it looks like the surface of the moon after the Franklin fire roared through. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law and Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. Franklin fire shows us that wildfires are always a concern in Southern California, even around the holidays. But there are some measures that you can take to protect your home if you're forced to leave during a mandatory evacuation. Some retailers are selling a fireproof gel that can provide an extra barrier to protect homes. David Everiff is the owner of Primo Pumps and Fire Equipment.
Barricade gel is a hydrating polymer. It's been around for over 25 years. The inventor discovered it based upon baby diapers absorbing moisture. And what it does is it sticks to a surface and holds water in suspension, so it creates a thermal layer that protects structures from heat and from flames. And it'll stay wet for anywhere from 8 to 24 hours, depending upon various conditions like humidity and moisture in the air and wind and temperature. And it'll create a good thermal barrier that'll protect a home from impinging flames and embers. It's been used extensively throughout California and around the country.
He says the trick is to have the gel on hand before the fire starts coming your way.
This would be used right during a fire event because it's only going to stay wet for anywhere from 8 to 24 hours. You need to apply it before you evacuate. Or if you're in a long distance away and you've got embers falling, you might want to apply it while you're still staying and sheltering in place until the fire comes and you do evacuate. But it's not a long-term thing. It's something you apply at the time of the event.
Yeah, hey, and talking about applying it, you need to think about it like painting your house.
For a typical 3,000-square-foot home, I think that probably two cases would be sufficient. The cases run around $600 each. The applicator is another $125. You also have to think about the height of the building. There's a lot of things that go into this. We sell fire pump systems. We've been doing it for about 25 years that are designed to apply gel much faster than the garden hoses. So if you have a pool, you can use that water supply to apply the gel to taller structures and much quicker. There's a lot of things that go into it. You really want to talk to a professional.
He says the applicator is strong enough to coat your home with the gel, probably going to run you about $1,500.
You can use a garden hose if you have sufficient pressure. The thing to remember in all these instances is that when there's a fire, you're going to have a very low pressure, if any, in your hydrants and your water supply. So if you don't have an independent water supply, you might be stuck if you don't have good water pressure.
Now, he says this fireproof gel has an official shelf life of about 3 years.
The main trick is you need to shake it. It's kind of like paint. You've got two components. You've got the main hydrating polymer and the oil, which is a vegetable-based oil. You want to shake it every 6 months to a year at most, or at minimum. And if you keep doing that, we've got gel that's 5-6 years old. In fact, I've got some out there in the warehouse that's 10 years old, but that's because we shake it all the time. If you don't keep it shaken, then in 1 year's time, it could plug up and it could be more difficult to deal with.
And he says the gel has been approved by the U.S. Forest Service because it is safe for the environment. Unionized workers celebrating after a proposed mega merger between Albertsons and Kroger has fallen apart. Natalie Tavidian talked to one of those workers.
Grace Garcia, who works as a cashier at a Glendale Vaughn, says she's relieved about the proposed Albertsons-Kroger merger's collapse, saying she had a bad experience with a previous merger in 2015 when her store was divested and she was out of work for a couple of months.
My hopes is they focus their attention in the stores directly. You know, there's a lot of understaffing. I feel it's a disservice to our communities when there's long lines and people get hostile because they have places to go or they don't want to wait or they're forced to go to self-checkout and they don't know how to use it. I feel that they should focus on customer service.
Can you describe what that fight has been like for you?
Going to rallies, going to meetings, just educating myself as to how much money these companies are willing to spend for a merger. Kroger spent like billions of dollars in litigation trying to get this merger to go through. And I greatly appreciate that the courts saw how crucial it was that this merger didn't happen, because I think it would directly affect our communities.
A lot of residents in Malibu are feeling very relieved right now that they have homes to return to. That's coming up on Nonstop News at 5. Looks like the surface of the moon in many parts of the Malibu Hills after the Franklin wildfire came through. Pete Demetrio surveyed the scene in the Sierra Road area with local resident Bill Pruitt. Says he is lucky his home did not burn down.
Well, I was here until 5:30 yesterday morning, ignoring evacuation orders, thinking that a garden hose and some stupid defiance, and I do mean stupid, might help save the place I live in. And something went right, the winds changed, the embers went the other way, and for now, my place is safe. So I'm looking at what's left for the first time.
You're walking up and down, you're looking at your neighbors' homes. Have you met any of them, talked with any of them? How are they doing?
Everyone's shocked and dismayed, but not just at their good fortune, with the exception of a few and the one we're standing in front of now, but this has been extraordinary, because again, what you're seeing is massive amounts of decimation all over the hillsides, everywhere, except for in this specific area where you live, which means one thing: the firefighters knew what they were doing. They would let fuel burn, so we're safe more or less for a couple of years, unless, you go, God forbid, mudslides come through here. But you live in nature. You live in all of it. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the strangely beautiful, which it is now, looking around at how incredibly forceful and fierce nature can be.
Well, there's a thing also that when people are here, at least the vast majority of them probably have been here a long time, since 93, rebuilt with fire defense in line here. There is defensible space. There are things like that.
Right, which I'm growing familiar with every day and year that I spend more time here. I saw the Woolsey fire from my front balcony. It was over there, you know, away from us, but no less terrifying. And it's really, really powerful. And when you're in it and you're walking around in it, during and after, you just start to feel really, really profoundly akin with nature in a terrifying way.
You figure out, you know, you're in the middle of it, it's beautiful, but you learn there are mood swings, if you want to call it that.
Mood swings, exactly. Yeah, beautifully put. And you try to deal. I mean, it's not our mood swing, it's Mother Nature, you know. She's the one making all the trouble here, but she does it because she has to.
The idea of what's next, I mean, you know, is it just basically people coming in here with reclamation crews, cleaning up all the debris, the charred things, the trees that are half burned, things like that? All this stuff's going to have to go.
It is, and yet, again, I look around at the beauty that remains here, and up on the hillside, it's scorched, it's decimated.
Looks like the surface of the moon.
Exactly, which reminds me of the Thomas Fire, which I was able to witness as well, and the aftermath there, and what happened in Montecito when the rains came. If we are subjected to that same kind of rains, this place is going to be a bowl full of mud.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, depending upon literally how much rain we actually get here. The words is, though, we've got a La Nina coming, which is lesser in intensity. So we may have less rain than we've had the last 2 years, to which you are now wiping your forehead and saying, thank God.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it would be a blessing if we could just get through this in the next 3 years with a little bit of minimal growth on the hillsides, get it green back up. But you know, everyone here I know for certain feels not just wealthy and insured, but very, very lucky to live in such a beautiful place. So we're lucky that we can remain when we can.
That's Malibu resident Bill Pruitt talking with Pete Demetrio. Mixed day on Wall Street. Dow closing down 99 today. The S&P up 49. NASDAQ up 348. And now the business of money.
When you think of Christmas, do you think of horror?
Standing before me was...
The movie Nosferatu from Universal Pictures is playing against type, opening Wednesday, December 25th. Paul DeGarabedian, senior media analyst at Comscore, says the timing is deliberate.
Trying to pull some of that edgy vibe from streaming or create eventizing movies by either counter-programming to something like, for instance, having Nosferatu, a very creepy vampire film, released on Christmas Day this year.
Another example of counter-programming is the same-day release of Oppenheimer and the Barbie movie in summer 2023.
We all know what happened there.
And Hollywood has a history of mixing horror and holiday cheer.
The Exorcist opened on Wednesday, December 26th, the day after Christmas in 1973.
I'm Bloomberg's Lisa Mateo, KNX News 97.1 FM.
That is your nonstop news at 5 for Wednesday, presented by my Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review.